What's up, everybody? We're here for Mudball Monday. You're also going to have that one side dish that just, like, what are you doing over there? Like, nobody, this is prime real estate. Nobody's putting you on the plate.
It's just gravy. It's all gravy when I putt. So that's the worst part of my game.
Like, cold shrimp salad. I need help defining this, obviously.
Oh.
Dude, it was...
Hello.
Dude, all right, I got to confess... The spin loft thing, I'm missing something. Like, I flew through the first part of the puzzle, and there's a fucking piece missing. I don't know where it is. What up, what up, what up? We are back again for, what the hell is this? This is not Mudball Monday. This is Thanksgiving Thursday. Getting in the weeds, food talk, golf talk, delinquent talk. It is Walker Simas and Henry Shimp back at it after Thanksgiving. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm definitely still coming down from Thanksgiving. Weight doesn't come down. We're still on the road to 200, which is going nicely. But yeah, coming down in terms of my sleep patterns, just all of the things. But hey, that is Thanksgiving. It's supposed to be that way. It was a fantastic week. We were meant to recap it directly after, but some technical difficulties hit us. And so we don't miss episodes ever. We just pivot. And so here we are for whatever this is. It's Mudball Monday,
112
Monday.
Or episode 112 or episode 1. Take it however you wish.
Fair enough.
We're not going to get into a ton of drinking talk today. No dirt. Important to mention, no dirt.
I do need to mention one thing on the drinking front, though.
That's kind of what I was saying is, like, let's go into some drinking talk before we just hammer the eating, like, all day.
Fair enough. Yeah. Only thing I have to add here on the drinking front from Thanksgiving. So I get home, can't remember when, got in kind of later, and usually one of the first things I do when I get anywhere is scope out the coffee scene, because, I mean, that's just vital. I mean, you cannot go into a morning not knowing what the coffee setup is going to be, but just given the circumstances, I wasn't able to do so. And so anyway, get home. My dad's a coffee guy, so, you know, I trust the guy. It's going to be something pretty good. And I take a sip, and I was like, this tastes awfully familiar. And I look into the pantry, see what we've got. The Mudball half calf, baby. So it was a huge coffee week. My parents are gaming the Mudball half calf. Everybody should be gaming the Mudball half calf. And the thing that I so appreciate about the Mudball half calf this time of year is, as it gets colder, I want a coffee in my hand. I wanted to be drinking a lot of coffee, but I don't really need 700 milligrams of caffeine every day. It has been done, and I can certainly survive off of that and do just fine. But it's really not necessary, you know? So that's where the half calf really comes into play. I've been gaming it every day this week, multiple cups, loving every single one. If you want to do the same, use code THETIE, THETIE at goodwalkcoffee.com for 20% off your order. Anything on the site, it's a great time of year to stock up on coffee. But they've got the staff bags, the 5 pounders. No one wants to be running to the grocery store all the time when you got family in town, everything. Everybody drinks coffee, especially this time of year when it's colder. So stock up on some Mudball half calf, on some 5 pound staff bags, all at goodwalkcoffee.com. That's all I got to say on the drinking front.
Just ran through Black Friday. I'm sure everybody here is stocked up and sipping. However, if you're not, you can still get your savings with the Tide discount. So just do it. You got
every day is Black Friday with the Tide discount.
That's right.
And we don't need these one day a year sort of sales. You get 20% off anytime you want it.
It's cold weather golf season. We got black coffee. We got black hoodies. We've got the black quarter zips. It's just the vibe on Mudball Monday. Getting to the pod today, Henry, we, I think, just very eager for a catch up on the golf front. Like, haven't played a whole lot of golf since New Orleans, but got back into things over the Thanksgiving holiday. Know you did as well. Anxious for just kind of catch up on the golf games. And then, you know us, we are going to work some food chat into this. Of course, the conversation today is going to be considered, like, basically centered around Thanksgiving eating festivities. But of course, we're going to spend some time talking about leftovers as we must do. And I'm going to kind of take us briefly through the format today and then we'll get running. So, I guess the goal here is we're going to break Thanksgiving food down into sections and then just hammer it out with the golf talk. So, starting out today, we're going to be talking about our main dishes. The main dish, like without a main dish, there is absolutely no structure. There's no foundation. You need something to rely on. For lack of better words, you need a clear gamer. So we're going to be talking about our main dish, the central theme of our Thanksgiving meal, and eating endeavors. And then we're going to be talking about, of course, the best part of your game right now. That'll lead us off today. Henry Shimp will lead us off today. Henry, what was your central theme dish? And best part of your game right now.
Well, I mean, I could go a lot of directions with the central theme dish. That does not necessarily have to be like the protein or whatever it is in my mind. But for me, that is the direction I'm going to go because I got heavily amongst the main sort of protein offering, which was not, in fact, turkey. There was turkey on offering, and I actually, we'll get into this later. We have some leftovers play in here, and then we're going to talk about turkey, turkey talk, if you will. But my main gamer on the mains front this year was steak, which was a great call. My uncle decided to do some steaks. He's got one of those Blackstone, blacktop sort of deals. It's kind of like the griddle thing, which, God, that's like, I'm as bad as any of them. A bunch of friends of mine are always talking about, like, man, I just want to move into a house so I can have a grill. And it's like, that's really the only thing. It's the only real pain point. And I'm so with them. Like having a grill or an egg or one of those black tops or all of the above would really change my life. So anyway, steak was the main gamer. I could not stop going back. There's great steak. There's like everything in between. There's not good steak. I mean, this was not 10 out of 10, but it was like north of 9.7. Like this was really, really good steak. I had easily 20 some ounces and then steak and eggs the next morning. We'll talk more about that as well with the leftovers play. But steak, I mean, that was absolutely the through line of my meal. Through line of my golf game. Yeah, as you mentioned, like since New Orleans, there's been not a lot of golf. I did play three rounds, I believe, a couple 9-hole rounds and then a couple 18-hole rounds over Thanksgiving. I mean, there were some highlights ish, kind of. There were some good shots. But it was pretty ugly, frankly. But the one thing that was, it was fine. Like I didn't run into any issues and there were some dingers, maybe bombs, maybe not so many dingers, but my driving was still solid. My driving is usually solid. I don't get myself into trouble. I do generally hit the fairway more times than I don't. I did have one round. I can't remember which one it was, but I kind of took notes on like the 13th hole and I was like, yeah, I don't think I've missed a fairway today. And the fairways were not super large at the golf course I was playing. So the driver's still been redeeming. But as we move on to an accessory in my game, a worst part of my game, a shot that I sometimes have, but don't always pull off. And then scrappy parts of my game, it's going to be less solid than that. But my driving's not too bad, and steak was absolutely rock solid in my Thanksgiving meal. So I'll kick it to you for the same question. Main dish, main part of your game.
Yeah, I feel like you're just doing it wrong if you're not going with the main protein dish. We had two this year. We did ribs and turkey as well. And the turkey is good. Like, talk to a bunch of people post Thanksgiving who are kind of mixing it up this year. They're frying at a different oil. They're kind of dealing with a new rub situation. They're getting into the injecting,
Varietals.
lots.
If we're
That's a
talking
game.
changing up the oils, what are we doing here? We going peanut oil Chick-fil-A
Dude,
here on turkeys? Can you imagine?
I was so pleased to hear what I heard. I had a conversation this morning, with a guy I work with about this, and he was telling me he switched up the oils this year. And I said, I was crossing my fingers under my desk. What are we getting into? What are we getting into? Thank God, he
Legume,
said
legume, legume.
peanut oil. So,
Hell yeah.
I was really, really, and they just injected the shit out of it. I was like, why are you, why inject if you're gonna fry? You're already there, and he made a pretty good counter. He's like, you're already there. So I see both sides. I'm sure it was damn good, but yeah, I've never tried the fried. It's never been done at our house, and not sure if it's going to until I have one of my own. So I love a roast turkey. I love a smoked turkey. We do smoked, and you know,
We're
seven, eight
smokers.
hours. Yeah, it just I like it. I know there are people who don't, but for me, the highlight was ribs, and the reason why it got the slight edge this year was we went with a different rub, kind of like a more smoky, more cayenne. And typically, when you pull ribs off the rack, I want that crust, of course. You want the crust, and then you want the smoke ring. Those are the two things that make ribs great, assuming that you've gotten just the right texture. You don't want to do ribs too fast, of course. And we covered them, at least the final three racks after the first one was killed, and there was some pretty delicious au jus hanging around, and so that will make its way into another conversation down the line. But yeah, ribs was the central theme. And then on the golf course, I need a little wrench, not really a hard fix, but my driver got dinged up a little bit in the airport, and so I just went with three wood all day at True Blue. Something we talked about when we were at New Orleans. Henry was like, dude, you gotta calm it down, brother. You gotta get that ball down and start working on knocking some spin off the ball,
Yeah, I'm
which
gonna
is
take some
so
space here
true.
in a moment on that. Yeah.
Which is so true. But I was playing with my boss a couple weeks ago, and he was like, kind of same thing. Like, my whole problem is plenty of fuel in the tank. I just gotta not get ahead of myself on the downswing. I mean, that is what creates the infamous two-way miss. And so just really trying to, like, almost Colin Morikawa, just kind of like gather myself properly. And then once you're gathered, you're good. And hitting three wood, because I'm hitting off the ground, trying to hit down on it a little bit more, helps me do that. Hit the ball really great. Just play like shit, like scored horribly, but like off the tee, it was nice. You're never looking for balls or anything. So that's probably the best part of my game right now. Ironically, putter's usually pretty good, but it was ass and a half on Thanksgiving week. Neither here nor there. Next topic is going to be side dishes. Okay, so in Thanksgiving, you're bringing out all the smokers, right? You've got the headliners, you've got all the bangers, but they can't all be the best. You're going to have the dish that only makes its way into one meal a year, Thanksgiving. That usually that's your stuffing or whatever else. But you're also going to have that one side dish that just, like, what are you doing over there? Like, nobody, this is prime real estate. Nobody's putting you on the plate. Or if so, it's going to be in rounds two, three, or four when we get bored. Usually the one that hangs out in the Tupperware the longest, a couple days after Thanksgiving in the fridge. And so we're going to use those two opportunities with best and worst side dish to talk about an accessory in our golf game. Like, ideally something that is really strong, but you don't really have to pull out all that often. And then, of course, the worst part of your game, which is all of you regular Mudball Monday listeners know that we almost don't even need to get into, but we certainly will. So, Henry, best side dish and best accessory in your game.
Yeah, I'll do that one, and then I'll also roll right into the worst, as I think
Yeah.
it makes sense to kind of complement. But before I
Great.
do that, I do have two things to cover real quick. First and foremost, this kind of straddles the best side dish and worst, or excuse me, and main dish. I think there are a lot of people out there that allegedly who think that like mac and cheese is the centerpiece of Thanksgiving. I'm letting it rip. Mac and cheese is bullshit. If that to you is the definition of Thanksgiving, if you can't get behind some steak, some turkey, some just regular ass good, well-prepared vegetables, and then some nice pies, get out of here. Mac and cheese, bullshit. Thoughts? Anything to add there? Am I off the line?
You're off the line. Like, mac and
Fuck.
cheese can, hold on. Mac and cheese can be awesome. Small, just like chocolate cake. It's just like chocolate cake. Does it have a place in the world? Absolutely. Do you need more than like five bites? Absolutely not. But do those five bites have to be absolutely life-changing? Yes, they do. To compete, I am totally against average mac and cheese. I am totally against Kraft, even as a utility item. If you're doing it the right way, it has a place in the world. You just don't need much of it.
Think that was a rock solid take. And it's kind of changing the paradigm for me on mac and cheese. I think maybe it does now have a place at the table, but it's a small dish and it's a full send. It's like full blown cacio e pepe or like something. Let's go wild. Let's make it good. But don't have like a massive tray out there so people are just like shoveling down mac and cheese. Okay. No more mac and cheese talk. But what I do have to hit is you talked about New Orleans. We never really gave a post-game report on New Orleans. And I'm really glad to hear that that the three wood is making its way out a little bit more and that we're thinking about the trad, keeping the ball down. I do like, by no means was I mad. Zero part of me was mad. We're playing a four ball event. We're out there like midway through. It was pretty cold. It was windy. And like, it was definitely a day where it was kind of testing, like, do you have that auxiliary shot in the bag? Like, can you into the wind with water right, shit left, like all this junk, like, can you deal or can you not? And it was just one, I mean, it wasn't until the 13th hole that you hit a fairway. And it was just one time after
It's
another of
so
getting up
true.
there. And I mean, you were just like going 110%, ball way up in your stance, full send with the driver. Like no one on earth thinks this thing is going anywhere close to straight. And none of them did. And I have to imagine, I have this vivid memory actually on Thanksgiving, the first time I ever drove, had my permit. My mom was in the passenger seat. Like an absolute dumbass, had no idea how to drive. Like I'm just sitting there saying, like, oh, it'd be fun to go like 110 every, 5 miles or so down the highway. That's kind of what I felt like watching you hit the driver. It was just like, no idea what we're doing. Don't know where this thing is going, but we're gonna absolutely let it fly. So I had to get that out there because it was a vivid Thanksgiving sort of memory. Moving on, side dishes. Best side dish this year. This was like kind of a new one. I mean, squash usually makes its presence known in a Thanksgiving meal, as it should. Squash and zucchini are underrated vegetables, not bullshit. There was a squash casserole situation. Don't really know fully how to describe it. There were definitely some onions getting in there. There was some sort of crunch on the top, probably some garlic involved. Not too heavy. I mean, garlic usually, if the recommendation is like 4 cloves, like that needs to be 14 cloves. But I think with squash is so light in flavor that might be a time to kind of rein it in on the garlic a little bit, which I think is how this was done. I always think that squash and really anything for that matter goes great with heavy black pepper. So I was just crushing the squash casserole with black pepper. But that was easily the side dish this year. That was just such a winner because, the thing that's interesting about a side dish and one of the reasons that I'm not into mac and cheese is Thanksgiving. It's all about hedging dessert, right? Like, how much can I eat that I'm really enjoying while still keeping dessert? I mean, it's always in play. It is truly always in play. But like, I want 3 pieces of pie to feel in play and not like hate myself after that. So that's kind of the game we're playing. And if you're going just one plate of mac and cheese after another, you're going to get midway through slice two of pie, hopefully not pumpkin, and you're not going to be having any fun. But squash is a little lighter on the stomach. You can kind of keep shoveling it down. It's a sustainable business model. We're all about the sustainability of our business models out here at the Thai Podcast. So that was my side dish this year. The best accessory in my game, something that I don't use all that often, but I'm confident I gain shots on the field. It is what it is. My long iron play is good. 190 to 240, anywhere in there. Kind of once I get a 6 iron up to about a 2 iron. Not everyone is flagged, but I do flag it every now and then. And I've realized that especially in a less competitive world, there are a lot of people that with a 4 iron or 2 iron in hand are getting silly with it. Like this thing might be flying God knows where. And generally speaking, like I kind of know where it's flying with a long iron. So that's the best accessory in my game. I say it's an accessory because I mean, depending on the type of golf course you're playing, like if you go, compete at a high level in amateur stuff, you're hitting those a lot, especially if you don't hit it 360, like I do not. But in more casual golf these days, not that many long irons coming into play, which is not a bad thing. So it's an accessory, and for me, not a terrible one. Okay, on to the worst side dish. Easily, sweet potato casserole with marshmallows on top. That is second bullshit of the day. I love sweet potatoes. I absolutely love sweet potatoes of all varietals, but the marshmallow on top and the mash sweet potatoes. It does have a place in the world, but it's a damn small place. Like it's a remote island off the southern coast of Antarctica, something like that. Like that is where mashed sweet potato lives in this world. I think there's so many better preparations, and nowhere on this world should sweet potato with marshmallow on top exist. So far and away the worst side dish. I did not even think about taking a bite. I'm usually not that kind of guy. Like I will try absolutely anything, but kind of just, and I wouldn't like say anything to anybody, but just as like an internal, I am taking a stand against this bullshit. I was like, I will not touch the mashed sweet potato with marshmallow on top. That is heinous activity. Please don't do it. Okay. Worst part of my game, similar, heinous activity. You know, I've actually come completely to peace with my putting. I'm so at peace with my putting. And
Ooh.
I this was just a true like stream of consciousness the other day. I was talking to my brother and I was just like talking about the state of my game. And I was like, yeah, everything sucks. Like nothing's good here, but let's get slightly more granular on each part. And so I was talking about like my hitting and my driving and this and that, and my short game, which has been good. We will get there in a minute. But I start talking about my putting. You know, I've been trying this claw thing. And like in New Orleans, the claw was, I mean, it was clawing. It was rock solid. I was rolling putts in. Since then, it's just been like, it's been hit or miss. Like there actually haven't been too many days that are just like terrible, but there have been still some good ones. And then some where it's just like, eh, well, you know, whatever. Like I don't really expect to make anything. And that's kind of where I've realized I am with my putting, and really in perpetuity, is that I don't really expect to make putts. You know, I just kind of expect to like inside of about 3 feet, I think it's probably going to go in. I don't really three putt all that often, but outside of 3 feet, I just don't really expect a lot to go in. It's a bonus if it does, you know? So I view putting, and man, there could be like a really good segue here, but unfortunately, I only have one wheel. It's just gravy. It's all gravy when I putt. So that's the worst part of my game. Anything, just purely from a mental standpoint, if you view a part of your game as like, hey, if it goes well, we are winning, that's bad. That's really fucking bad. But that's the state of my putting right now. It's just anything good that happens is truly surprising to the upside, and it is what it is. So, those are my side dishes. That's my accessory. It's the worst part of my game. That was a mouthful, Mr. Simus. What do you got? And if you talk mashed sweet potatoes, I am hanging up.
Yeah, I got a couple comments there coming off yours. I was thinking about your interview with Christian Cavalier. He was just saying that, like, in regard to the US Open, like, anything, if you made the cut or whatever, like, it's all gravy. And I'm sitting here listening to you, who I've seen shoot like 62, like 5 times. You're like, man, anything over 3 feet, it's all gravy. So hey, that's where we are.
It is what it is.
Second thing is, I gotta know, sweet potato casserole, do y'all leave any texture in there, or is it just kind of like one homogeneous mash?
Well, I couldn't tell you
I guess
because I
yeah.
took a stand.
Good man.
If
It's almost
now,
a test.
if the yeah, I was sitting there thinking about it. I was like, I truly couldn't say. We did. So this is, I thought this was a fairly baller play. There was that, which is not a baller play. Then there was like a very regular sort of mashed potato, garlicky, a little bit of butter, but simple mashed potato. And then there was, I wouldn't call it like a loaded mashed potato with like all sorts of crazy shit going on, but there was more. There was some green onion, there was some different sort of seasoning going on, really solid stuff. That was like reasonably chunky, as was the just the standard sort of mashed potato, which to me, whether it's mashed potatoes or a potato salad, that's a whole different conversation we're not getting into. But texture, chunkiness, skin. Personally, I think skin, especially if you're using red potatoes, should stay in the game. But yeah, I can't tell you on the sweet potatoes.
Yeah, dude. I really don't like red potatoes that much, but in a potato salad, I agree with you. Cold, like, nice
Yes.
texture, skin, very, very, very nice. All right, moving on. Man, I guess to capitalize on this topic, like, I think we all know, like, a driving range player. They got one shot, pretty unwilling and unable to just be artistic on the golf course. And if they have to, there's just cat's not getting skinned. And the accessories, like, I thought it was an interesting play that you went with long irons, but I, after hearing your take, I kind of agree with that. And mine's going to be my bunker game. You know, like, I'm just like a really nice, short-sighted, like, get the speed up, hear the thump, something like that is just what I love. And my version of that during Thanksgiving this year was this like cold shrimp salad. I need help defining this, obviously.
Oh,
dude, it was,
hello.
We've had this before, but I've got to ask, you know, what was done differently this year? Maybe we just got great shrimp. And, you know, I mean, this is a whole nother discussion here, but you were talking about steak and how there's like, you know, there's kind of middle, like middle below average steak. There's pretty good steak. And then there's just kind of like a whole different tier. And when you get like good prawns or good shrimp that are just
changes the game.
Dude,
and it's so it's so subtle,
next level.
Yet just like not even remotely subtle, you know, like even something where the shrimp aren't even like the main game. Like if you have a shrimp pad thai with just regular shrimp, you're like, oh, this is good, you know, really good pad thai, shrimp are good, and then really good shrimp are in there and you're just like, whoa, this is a different dish.
Totally, I agree. And so we just had great shrimp and they were ice fucking cold, just like perfect. And this is the dish. Super simple. It is cold shrimp, tails on, capers, raw onion, like in the circles. I think soaking them in ice water just kill the stench a little bit. Lemon juice. That's it. Salt, pepper, and truly elite finger food. Like I just could not stop going back for more. So that was the most elite side dish slash accessory. Like I love a shrimp cocktail or something, but I had years of my life where I was off the shrimp kick. Like grew up having a lot of shrimp, and for whatever reason, the last couple of years, I just didn't want any part of the game. And so I'm back. I'm officially back with some good stuff. Yeah, and but bunker game. I mean, I've always loved being in the bunker. I think that's part of the thing is it helps your iron game so much when not that. You want to be going for tucked pins all that often, but if you're in that sort of situation, it gives you the freedom to take on a pin, knowing that if you happen to miss the shot, you can just kind of make it happen. However, I will say bunker play is one of those things that if you don't practice, like I used to love going in and hitting 45, 50 bunker shots on an afternoon and making that a pretty regular part of my practice.
Rounding the club every single time.
Thumping, just thumping. And also, you know, my favorite, the reason that the bunker shot's my favorite is that, like, you don't even have to hit the ball, you know, just fucking throw your club in. You actually committed to using the bounce. Whereas once grass is involved, I don't even know what the answer is.
No.
And yeah, I've always loved it. And Brett Rumford is a guy that I've always followed on social media. I love his action. I love the way that he, like, kind of flares his toes out and kind of bends his knees towards that forward side on his left and is kind of freely moving through the shot. I'm obsessed with that kind of stuff. So need to get back in the sand and try and start relearning how to hit those different shots. But yeah, always love the bunker. Worst side dish. There was fucking, I mean, this is really easy. There was steamed broccoli on the counter this year. Like, I'm just not even going to look twice. As we said earlier, like prime real estate, it's not going on the plate. And in fact, we'll go deeper on that because this was not even a plate Thanksgiving. This was a bowl Thanksgiving. It was the only one of the 12 or 13 people sitting down this year that chose bowl. And boy, I turned some heads. So yeah, there was no steamed broccoli on the plate. And then the worst part of my game, dude, all right, I got to confess, the spin loft thing, I'm missing something. It, like, I flew through the first part of the puzzle, and there's a fucking piece missing. I don't know where it is, but clearly Joe Mayo and I need to go and have a coffee because Something's not working. So I've never been more lost, ironically. I'm not sure where the bottom is. We continue to fall. But you know, the best part about the bottom of the barrel is that life is very cyclical, and in your deepest, darkest moments, it will come back around. So fortunately, we only have one direction to go, and that is up. And so once I figure out where my missing puzzle piece is in, we'll be back. So that's it.
We might need to get you in with Joe. Not you know, not as
It'd
a name
good
drop,
content.
But Joe.
It'd
Joe is who
awesome
I worked
content.
With for 3 years in school, so consider him a good friend. And we were actually texting on Thanksgiving. I was sipping a little Pappy VW, which Joe's a huge fan of Pappy, and we were talking about getting together and might need to bring a camera, a wedge, and you know, my co-host to get a little lesson going. That'd be pretty solid stuff.
All right, Walker, I want you to like, it'd be awesome. I can't wait. Best dessert. All right, so this is next up. As we both said, I think it's going to be pie mostly today, but got to save room, 3+ pieces. Dessert is not something that I think I speak for both of us here. We're not getting in dessert all that often. Although I tend to draw a hard line between, you know, if you're having a scoop of ice cream and some berries, that's a very different thing from like housing 6+ pieces of pie across a 24-hour span. And like any dessert at the right time, if you're truly in the moment, you just got to go for it. And so the shot that we're going to be talking about, the part of our game that we're going to be talking about, is this shot that hopefully, God willing, you just don't have very often, but it feels really good to pull off. They talk about Tiger, Phil, all the greats, and how they just have this sickening love for showing off when they get in. I mean, Jordan, the list goes on, Seve, they just have this sickening love for being out of position and showing off their skill for getting out of it. So that's going to kind of be the shot that we're talking about today, along with dessert. Let's hear it.
So dessert, like, let me throw a disclaimer. First and foremost, my grandmother makes these cookies and has made them. Basically, she has a bunch of different shapes that she uses to form these cookies. And so they can be applicable to anything. You know, if it's, I don't know, St. Patrick's Day, they're leprechauns. And, you know, for Christmas, they're like bells and Christmas trees. And then for Thanksgiving, they're turkeys and footballs and all of these different things. And so it's the same recipe. Like, it's truly one of those things that I have had thousands of these things in my life, like just an ungodly amount. And, you know, the icing color changes. It's just like such a simple cookie. It's like a sugar cookie, but done perfectly. Not one that gets like really hard or too sweet or anything like that. Just almost, I would say it's almost between like a sugar cookie and shortbread. And it's just so damn good. And then this icing that has, I believe, I should know this. I cannot believe that I'm like reeling on this, but I'm pretty sure almond extract is kind of the secret ingredient. And so it almost tastes like, you know how wedding cake, the icing just is like so freaking good. It's almost like different. Wedding cake icing on like a really good shortbread sugar cookie. I mean, you could eat 64 of these things in a day and not think twice about it. And so on Thanksgiving Day, did 11 miles in the morning, came back, had like a full breakfast spread with one of those cookies involved. Probably had two or three more throughout the day, just as you kind of, you know, kind of graze throughout the day. And then after dinner, there were a couple of those as well. So that's kind of like I have to throw that in there as the dessert. But, you know, we talk a lot about pies and you got to put your money where your mouth is. It took a while for the apple pie to cool down. By the time the apple had cooled down, I'd already had a little bit of pecan. I, you know, had to prove to myself that pumpkin's bullshit, which it still is. And when the apple cooled down, I took one bite and it was almost just that, like, take a bite, drop the fork. Like, what are we even doing here? Like, I knew I was right. Apple pie is so far and away the superior pie. I love pecan pie. It's fantastic. But apple pie is just, it wins. It absolutely wins. The interaction between kind of the, I don't know if filling is even the right term, but what's not apple, you know, what almost becomes like the sauce in there, between that and the crust comes out, you don't get the crust action in pecan as much because pecans and the sweetness are just like so strong and overpowering. The interaction between that buttery flaky crust, the apples themselves, and we use some nice honey crisps, which is, you know, it's key. You got to use pretty good apple. Nice cinnamon action. Like, it's almost, it almost straddles just like a fruit pie and almost like what I would think more is like a spice cake or a spice pie, you know, that like carrot cake is a spice cake. Apple pie to me is almost like half fruit pie, half spice pie. It is the winner. It's not even close. Anyone that wants to argue it, come at me. It's the paradigm. I don't think this is the paradigm in my golf game. I really don't. But I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I have been working on my short game, and I don't have that many like tight cut over a bunker, tight lie, all the bullshit. I don't have that very often. But when I do, sometimes I just give up. I just pick up and say, fuck this. But when I try it recently, many more times than not, it's been working out pretty nicely, and there's nothing that feels better. When especially you're someone that has a there are some skeletons in the closet, let's just say that, with the tough short shots. And when you just say, you know what, fuck it, sack out, I'm going to hit the shot here. You pull one off, I'm staring seven in the eye if this doesn't go right, but you pull it off and hit it close. And then, you know, again, like probably not making the putt unless I knock it inside a few feet, but that's okay. It's not about making the putt. It's about not putting into the bunker or over the green and then into the bunker or into the bunker and then over the green, you know, all that crazy shit. I have been pulling off some really good, let's just say, nippers lately. And when you nip one, there's almost something about it where it's like the outcome is irrelevant. Like it's contact. That's all that really matters. This is so sad listening to
myself
talk about this. And
that shit sits with you. You take that with you.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, sometimes you hit a drive out of the middle of the face, but you kind of hook it way too much and it goes in a bunker, but you're like, I fucking crushed that thing and I feel good about myself. That's kind of what short game is like for me. Like if I catch it out of the middle of the face and I'm like, that thing is spinning, you know, I don't really care if it's like a kid that can't hit the ball out of the park. You know, it's like if it hits the fence, it hits the fence. If someone catches it, he catches it. But when you nail one, you gave your best. And when I catch one right, I don't care if I got the distance right. I did something good. So that's the shot. I don't have that often or try that often. I don't always pull it off, but I've been pulling it off more times than not. And, you know, it's made me feel pretty nice about myself.
There we go. That's what I'm talking
about.
Like
apple pie makes me feel nice about myself.
All right. We got to do it. Apple pie did not make my list this year. But I want to talk about a deconstructed apple pie, because here's my issue with apple pie. We make them every year. I made mine this year. It was good. It was really good. But it reminds me of doing like a baking dish, you know, like roasted veggies, right? Where you've got different veggies that just cook at different times, at different temperatures. And it sounds a little bit foofy. Like part of the deal with Thanksgiving is you have so much shit to cook, so you can't be too fancy about it all. You got to just kind of do it in shifts and make sure it gets done. And it's got to be good, but it's going to be. Like my boy Papa John says, you know, good ingredients, it's going to be all right. So, yeah, dude, I want to try a deconstructed apple pie and like make sure the crust is done right. And then what I love about this apple pie is that obviously there's a lot of liquid in apples and that needs to get out somehow. But you know, the circular, like, cake forms basically where there's like the hole in the middle. I want to just essentially put the apples in there. No pie, well greased pan, like rub some ghee on the sides or whatever you got to do to prevent sticking. You know, and every, you know, 15, 20 minutes, pull it out of the oven and just poke it, make sure that air and steam has the ability to escape so that you've got like this really nice kind of homogeneous apple thing. Because I agree with you, the it's kind of like a margarita pizza or something. Like the acidity of the tomatoes and then the apples does something that a pecan pie can't do, right? And like that's what makes it pretty gangster. And then you get the nutmeg and everything involved, and it's like it's pretty good what you're working with. But then I just want to do the, you know, the perfect apple setup on the plate, and then just the pie crust crumble on top. And part of me says, dude, that's just too much, but I know it'd be slightly better. Pecan pie to me is the obvious answer. Like I just love it. But you know what showed up this year?
We know all about that from last year's Thanksgiving Mud Bowl Monday.
Thanks. Some people weren't here during last year's Thanksgiving Mud Bowl Monday, and
Might have piped that one in.
And we're pleased to see that.
I
That was a
save
great
all
one.
of our episodes for the record. So if that makes its way into this episode, cheers.
Please do. Honestly, it'd be great.
I would absolutely fuck pecan pie 100%. And it's not even, no thought has to go into that.
But yeah, dude, carrot cake showed up this year and it was the winner. It was so good. Kind of like that golf course you do no research on before you go play and it just knocks your socks off and you sit home and you get in the car on the way home and you just think in silence. You just need a moment to process what you just experienced. That was what that carrot cake was like on Saturday night. Blew me away. And the shot that I don't try much, don't have often, but feels damn good to pull off is that 60, 70 yard bunker shot. I've never figured it out my whole life. I don't know how to hit it. I think the way that I approach it now generally is like, I don't know, maybe 2-3 clubs less, even pressure in both the feet, and then definitely some out to in action. Like I'm definitely cutting across it. Maybe that's my problem. But if anybody has some advice, some worthy advice, we want to take it from the right guy, of course, or gal. So yeah, that. How do you hit that shot? I have no idea.
I think the key is, I actually think I'm pretty good with that one. You have to be, and this is just true of bunker play in general. Like I like you, consider myself to be a pretty decent bunker player, which might just be in comparison to the rest of my short game. But anyway, you have to be willing as the yardage goes up to increase the club. Like those who mm-hmm. are basically using a lob wedge from wherever, like
not
there's
work.
No chance. So if I have plenty of room to run it out, I'll pull an 8 or a 9 iron. If you have to fly at 60 yards and stop it, like you're just kind of screwed. Like that just is what it is, you know? But yeah, being willing to try different clubs and use what's necessary to be able to get it there without just trying to hit closer to the ball. Honestly, that's the only sort of sauce or lack thereof that I would have.
Yeah. It's a tough shot for everybody, but yeah, when you start getting into back pins and making big numbers, that's the real only goal there. We're not trying to get up and down from 60 yards in a bunker. You're trying to like not take 4 shots basically.
Exactly.
So, but
hey,
yeah,
quick question for you before we move on to the last category here. So you threw me a zinger there on carrot cake. I didn't know that had any place in a Thanksgiving meal.
I didn't either. It just
carrot
showed
cake
up.
Carrot cake is unbelievably good. Unbelievably good. As much as I love apple pie, like I will completely admit that I'm not saying carrot cake is immediately better, but if there's anything that can stand up, it's probably carrot cake. So the question to you is, I mean, this is a top five sort of matchup, right? Like if carrot cake is a golfer and apple pie is a golfer, what's the matchup that we're looking at here?
Shit, dude, that's a good one. I mean, I feel like apple pie would have to be like Adam Scott or something. It's just like, yeah,
it's so American though. It can't be Australian.
Yeah, it's true, but
it's
mean,
just
Adam
like a
Scott's
stone cold
the most
American
Australian
killer.
Guy I've ever met.
That's not false.
Let's see. That's a good point though.
I mean, it's Scheffler, no? Scheffler,
yeah,
is
Scheffler's
apple pie.
Scheffler's
he is
pretty
America.
Apple pie.
Basic but unbelievably good. Just
yeah,
so
no.
good.
Scheffler's
it's
a good
be
candidate.
Scheffler. Carrot cake, a little especially spice in there.
Especially right now, I mean, carrot cake is sign of the time. Minwoo Lee, he wouldn't really be carrot cake though.
Not afraid of a white belt either. Carrot cake throws its white belt on with cream cheese frosting.
Yeah, it does. But what I loved, you know, I hate frosting in general. Like, don't even think about handing me a cupcake. I'm just not into that sort of thing. But this carrot cake had, I'm talking maybe a quarter inch on each layer, like just very, very thin spread. It was all about the cake itself, which was just, dare I say it, it was super moist and just fantastic. Heavy on the carrot too. People take it easy on the carrot, you know, big carrots out here just raising prices. And I know people like to, what do they call it?
I support big carrot.
Yeah, I'm in on, and they're tied with, you know, big eyeball too. So you just gotta make sure your vision's up to
it's
date.
True,
once
great for vision. Yeah, Best leftovers play. I'm kicking it to you here. Keep it rolling. So
it's not,
I mean,
yeah.
Look,
we'll call it Manwoo.
If you don't have leftovers, like I have leftovers one time a year, and that's Thanksgiving. Well, in terms of consumption and then just purely having them, I finish every meal. That just is what it is. But if you don't have leftovers after Thanksgiving, like truly, what did we do here in terms of the amount that was cooked? You know, like if there are four people at the table, you should cook four racks of ribs and two turkeys. You know, like that's just how Thanksgiving goes. So there will be leftovers. They should be consumed. You're going to have times in golf where you got to be scrappy. In fact, most of the time you got to be scrappy. So leftovers play. And where is you scrappy?
So I'm different than you. I've lived on leftovers my whole life and I love leftovers, except I think the rule here is leftovers are a 48-hour endeavor. They are not a 72-hour endeavor. Very important distinction there. If you're cooking enough for a week, unless you have a family of 12, I just don't think that's a great way to go about eating. But if you cook a little bit extra and you're as mindful of your second meal as you are your first meal when preparing your food, I'm all in on that. Now, Thanksgiving, I agree. You're just going to have leftovers. And if you don't, you're doing it wrong. But the way I approach it is like, dude, I am a human trash can. Like, I am the trash collector after the day after Thanksgiving. I'm like the container killer. You know, how do I somehow combine seven different things that should never go together on a plate or in a bowl together? It's like day after I was eating what are those peppers called? Help me here. They're not jalapenos. They're the everybody gets them. They're the
shishitos.
Thank you.
Fucking love shishitos. Best appetizer in the game.
Shishitos, like
it's a true appetizer.
Asian sauce. Yes, I was eating
it's
those.
Like eating grapes. They don't count. You pop one after another.
I was eating those while I was cooking my leftover meal. Just popping them. Kill a container. In the sink, time to be cleaned, and just one after the other. You know, we have this like cold kind of garlicky tomato, a little bit of red wine vinegar, a little bit of oregano type spread, like, you know, small little 10 ounce container that killed that. Broccoli,
a true natural laxative as well.
Killed it. Yes. She oh my is. Gosh. But
I digress.
The crux of, let's talk about the crux, like the idyllic, you know, the thing that you're thinking about on Thanksgiving morning of preparing when the workout's done and it's time to eat. And that is bowl game round two. That is Thanksgiving itself was a bowl game. But here's my go. Okay. You've got to rehydrate whatever the protein is. So I go with a couple ribs and a cold. I will trim them off of the bone. Meanwhile, I've got just like a saucepan of gravy going, a little bit of water just to kind of make it a little bit more thin, but then I toss the trimmed rib and the turkey in there and just let it rehydrate almost like a gumbo type deal. And then I'm reheating some white rice, get out my bowl and get the oven on broil. I get the stuffing, kind of break up, chop up the stuffing really thin and crispy.
I love
We're
stuffing.
Making like breadcrumbs almost basically. All right. So broiler's on. That's in the oven, getting all crispy while my gumbo of sorts is getting nice and hot. Hot bowl, hot white rice on the bottom. Cover it with that, you know, that sort of gumbo, crispy stuffing right on top. Garnish with something, you know, I don't care if it's pickled onion or green onion or something tangy. That's the way to go. That was my Thanksgiving play. So elite. As good as Thanksgiving, not even close. And then where am I scrappy? I think my tree game's pretty good. We were talking about my driving earlier.
You spend a lot of time in there.
I spend a lot of time in there. So I'm
take a shower
and get creative. And somehow the trees are the only place I can hit a draw. It's like only when I have a tree or a bunch of trees in a single gap can I turn the ball right to left. Otherwise, it's not really my thing. Actually, you're sitting here thinking of, He's like, yeah, I've definitely seen him hit it.
You can snap hook it. You can't draw it. There's a difference.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Yep, nailed it.
You can hit a toe banger out of bounds. You just can't hit a soft draw to a back left pin.
It's also the only place I can hit it low. You know, it's like if I got a limb 25 yards ahead of me, no problem.
Definitely can't do it off the tee. That's for
but
sure.
But if I got wind in my face from the middle of the fairway, nah, it's not going
high well. Right, high left, high somewhere, not straight.
There you go. Okay. Back to you.
Best leftovers play, where and how am I scrappy? I did not get as intricate as you when it came to leftovers this year, but like you, when it comes to Thanksgiving leftovers, I am absolutely all in. So first and foremost, dessert. There will be leftovers. They will be consumed. That is simple. After dinner the next night, people have had a couple pops. We're going to go back and see what's there. Everyone's just going to stand around and like sort themselves out and finish off the desserts. That is what it is. We talked about steak. There was a lot of steak on offer. And I could tell immediately that like the steak was just not really going to get consumed on the next day. So I'm just like, all right, fucking perfect. So this is key. When you're reheating, particularly steak, but any meat, you have to look for the more rare pieces, because microwave is not a thing when it comes to steak, nor any meat for that matter, nor is anything above medium when it comes to consumption of steak. If steak is already cooked at medium, well, A, I'm not eating it to begin with, and B, I definitely can't reheat it, because then it's going to well, and that's just dog food. So you're looking for the rarest pieces possible, and then you're searing. You're going hot skillet, very hot, searing quickly. If the inside doesn't get warm, that is what it is, but there is no cooking it to medium well. I would much rather have a nice sear on the outside and a cold center that's still not overcooked than an overcooked center. I might be crazy, but that's how I do it. Steak, eggs, of course. This is after a nice workout. We're back, steak and eggs. And shout out Team Rose Bread. We had some pumpkin challah. Pumpkin challah. Was looking for a carb. You know, a lot of different ways to scratch that itch. Didn't really want a piece of fruit. Didn't really want rice. I didn't know what I wanted. And I saw that challah and I was like, perfect. Steak, eggs, and challah. Couple slices. Absolutely fantastic. This is a bit of a strange one. This was 2 days removed. We're still working through the leftovers here. Had a bunch of smoked turkey left over. And maybe this is why turkey is not as elite in many people's minds when it comes to Thanksgiving, this way that I'm about to describe it. But turkey is better than people think, and it has its place in the world. And maybe its best place is after Thanksgiving. I get to a point where I'm like, I want something simple. And turkey's simple. When it comes to like a good dinner protein, turkey's good. It's simple. So a couple of nights after, it was turkey, trying to remember. Made some really nice green beans, actually. The onions in there. I did some like true kind of cook them down, caramelized onions, hour-long process sort of situation. It's low-key, really, really strong. Big carrot, got deep in the game. And I can't remember the other thing, maybe a little bit of rice, but just like something super simple, good quality ingredients. And turkey, still working through it. Simple, high quality. That might be its best application to Thanksgiving. So do not sleep on turkey when you're ready to like, you're kind of ready to dial it back in and keep it straightforward. Turkey's your gamer. Where am I scrappy? Okay. Well, I talked about my short game and the more interesting parts of the short game being a little bit better recently, but that's not always going to be the case. And so I can start to scramble with the best of them, I think, when the wedges essentially don't exist, because I've played so many rounds in my life where like, I don't care what happens. If I'm in the rough, that's that. I'm fine out of the rough. But I don't care what the shot is. Like, there have been so many times in my life where if I have a shot inside 40 yards around the green, I will not be pulling a wedge. And so you just have to figure it out. You've got 11 other clubs, 12 other clubs, depending on how many wedges you carry. And it can be any of those. It just can't be a wedge. So 6-iron, 4-iron, putter, driver, 3-wood, hybrid. I've done it all. Actually, I don't do hybrid because I don't have one, nor would I ever do that. But I have hit about everything in the bag, and my bump and run game is fucking elite. And it is truly, it's not that it's the right choice typically. It's that it is the only choice, because you got to get the ball up there somehow. Sometimes putter is just like, you just can't do it. If the rough is too thick, or if the grass is too thick or whatever it is, sometimes you just can't pull the putter. And you have to hit a bump and run. It is truly done out of necessity. but you know, you got to do what you got to do. So that's where I'm reasonably scrappy. And that's Thanksgiving. It's a Thursday. It's not a Monday, but this is Mudball Monday.